really good part of the Bible, second half of Psalm 19. David sings the praises of God's Word. And he calls God's Word a whole bunch of different things, but they all refer to God's Word. And so he uses the words law. These young people who do quizzing, you know, they see the law referred to. Law, statutes, ordinances, commands. All that refers to what God has said. And mostly said about himself, for sure. In fact, the law there, if you look in the Hebrew, you know, is the word Torah. And for Jewish folks, that means first five books of the Bible. Okay, that is perfect, according to King David. All it said about God, all it says about our need of God, and so forth. So we'll be looking at the good things from the Bible that David really enjoyed and loved. And it was a life changer for him, and God's word a life changer for us. Some things about it might be of help to you this morning. And so going through what David said, God's law, what he says about himself, is perfect and revives the soul. Okay, perfect means without error, no problems in God's word. If we want to know the truth, well, he's told us the truth, told us about himself. So Paul would say about God's word, it's the very words of God. And if I, you know, had something in my office and I said, you step in there and if I got something for you to read, and they are the very words of God, you'd be like, well, you'd get out. First, you'd have your doubts, understandable. And then perhaps if you opened, we would get to meet the Lord. You know, he authored the Bible. He speaks through the people who wrote the Bible. So, perfect. The very words of God, Jesus said, Scripture cannot be broken. So he thought God's word was a big deal, for sure. He happened to be the author of it. And so revives the soul. We all go through tough times in life where we feel down in our key relationships. Okay, friendships, hot and cold, family life. You know, you always have to be thankful, work on that. That's a good thing. Relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep that being built. God builds that. He builds the church. And our relationship with God to bring new life to the soul. God's word could do that for us. In my life, when I have times where I don't look at the Bible, and there are times when I don't look at the Bible. Okay. And you could probably say, I could tell. I could tell the times you don't look at the Bible. But there are times I don't look at the Bible. That's when my soul starts to not have life. But going back to God's word, you know, even if my eyes are bad, too much busyness, too much pain, whatever, if I just look at God's word, maybe not right away, but after a week, after a month, God's word is faithful. Okay, he speaks to us in his word. And so it definitely revives the soul. I'd give a testimony for that one. And then is trustworthy and gives joy to the heart. It's said about Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We could say the same about God's word, the Bible. Things in there that were true 2,000 years ago are true today and will always be true. Don't put anything before God. Okay, first commandment, that's true all the time. Love God with everything we are. We're built for that. We'll end up loving something with everything we are. Best to be God. And then other things are loved appropriately. But joy to the heart. It gives that, and we can rely on what the Lord said. The will of God is the word of God. Sometimes when we make decisions, we say, oh, I wish, and then I certainly do, in the Bible, it would give me specifics, you know. Have a chance to work at McDonald's or Burger King. Lord, I want to do your will. Okay, the answer to that question is Chick-fil-A. Okay, forget about it. Yeah, Chick-fil-A. No, McDonald's and Burger King, what, or Chick-fil-A, KFC. Our church has a history at KFC. some of the youngins. And, you know, you want to do those things well, we do, but the way we understand those parts of God's will is to do the more clear parts of God's will. Okay? Put the Lord first, worship Him, love my neighbor, okay? And then it'll be easier for me to see, aha, I could work here. It's an open door. Who should I marry? Lucy or Lainey? You know, oh, they're both fantastic and so on. And so you say, let me put the Lord first. And He'll provide a godly wife, you know, which God does for us. And so how wonderful His word is. Gives joy to the heart and is trustworthy. The guys who were converted by God's word in a strong way, Martin Luther, who was reading the book of Romans and the simple half verse, the just shall live by faith, turned his life around, turned the history of believers around to seek, well, Jesus is our Savior, nobody else. That happened on a half of a verse. Yeah, what a great thing. C.S. Lewis, who's quite a cerebral guy, he was converted just by reading God's word, as opposed to, you know, somebody talking to him in testimony. And I'm sure people did. When I was growing up, this little book came into our home, Good News for Modern Man. This is from our church library. Hard to get a hold of a copy of these. Okay, but this is the first Bible in our home, you know. Here I am, 15 or 16. What's this thing? And so I start reading it. And God catches a hold of our heart about Himself and what He has to say. You know, through this, where's the other one? Through that, different kinds, but they say the same thing, right? Say the same thing. God talks about Himself. And so joy to the heart. Couldn't get off that point, huh? We got a radiant light to the eyes. If you want to see what God is like or what life is like, God's word can help us with that, no doubt. And then it's sure, a solid rock, and altogether righteous. Most importantly, points us to a righteous one who lives this way. Okay, Jesus. Yeah, you could say, hey, this is altogether righteous because it talks about the Lord and it's from His dear heart and voice. So, boy, what a gift the Lord has given us. Remember in church history, do my math right here, 3/4 of church history so far didn't have access to this. 3/4. What 1/4 does, we're the last 4th. God said, my people need, you know, my people need this. Mr. Gutenberg, get busy. Crank out that printing press. And, of course, it was available to people. So we're so thankful. People, lives are changed by God's word and often gave their life so it could be in our hands and mostly in our hearts to meet Jesus. So, we want to say thank you, Lord, for your word, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. If you take Psalm 19, the old timer said, here's a good outline of it. The majesty, showing us God, the clarity that any of us can understand, and the humility, a life that is changed. Okay? So, one caution about looking into the word of God. Trying to earn salvation by being good or by gaining knowledge is the wrong message from the Bible. You might look at it this way. The Bible is a work of God, not a work to God. Okay, not a work to God that only a few of us have attained. Not us. I wouldn't even put myself in there. That only a few people have attained. Okay, they've studied it sufficiently and now they know the Lord. It's not the gospel. Okay? The gospel is God comes and tells us about Himself, comes into our heart, and then we begin to take that which is from God, the Bible, and enjoy Him. So it's not a work to God. It's a work from God that we participate in. These young people, I want them on my team who jump into the Bible. They experience God. You know, it's a work from God, not a work to God. Charles Spurgeon, who knew of different gaining of knowledge and commitment and so forth, he said, we can repent and do all the good works we want and gain all the knowledge we want. But we're not safe until we go back to the cross of Jesus. That's when we're safe. That's where salvation was provided for. That's when lives were changed. Okay. So you keep God at the center. Work from God, not a work to God. And it's a wonderful blessing. Let's look at the majesty of God. God says, I'm the Lord, there is no other. God's at the center. Salvation comes from the Lord. What a gift. And God has made God known. Main point of the Bible, God says, let me tell you about myself. Okay. So we caution, looking into the Bible again, another caution. Who is infallible when it comes to the Word of God? Is it the church? Okay. The answer is no. Church needs constant correction from God. Okay. Church is not infallible. Is it a person? Me, meaning you or me. You know, that we just read the Bible and we become our own authority? No. We're all fallible readers of an infallible Bible. Fallible readers of an infallible Bible. So we approach it with, oh, I need God's help. Even though the church is not infallible, we need the church's help, you know, to learn from each other. This is how cults get started. They focus that the individual is infallible. We don't need the church. We kind of go off on our own and just kind of say, this is what, you know, we're discovering. That's, you hurt yourself. That never ends well when people go in that direction. The Pope, is he infallible? Not even sure he wants to be infallible today. Okay. You know, he needs the Lord. He needs to change towards Jesus all the time. Which resource can we trust? It's God's Word. God's Word. And so access to God's Word, David said, oh my. You know, it's perfect. And it gives light to my path. And radiance to my eyes. So we have know to meet God in it. What's the Bible about? We'll look at this real quick, moving ahead. If you look in the New Testament, God tells us about Himself. He uses the word God 1,100 times. Jesus, you know, through the Gospels, through the letters, on through Revelation, Jesus seems to be on every page. Lord of all. That seems to be on, you know, every three or four pages. The Messiah seems to be on those many times. Father, that many times. Holy Spirit, God in our lives. He says, I'm not just going to be in heaven. I'm going to come and reside in you. Usually nine times on each page, God says, hey, I'm here. I love you. I can change your life. I can help you. The Bible is a book from God about God. Okay, it's not about us. It's not just about, you know, can I straighten out a certain area of my life? Can it make me just a little bit smarter, you know? It's God comes and He does the changing of us. And so the clarity. When you and I read the Bible, which we can do on a daily basis or in a group together, which is very, doubly helpful. What does God tell me about God? That's a question you want to ask when you read your Bible at home or when you're in a Sunday school class, you know, or some kind of group activity. What does God tell me about God? Because He's the one who wrote it. Okay, And then what has God asked me to believe and asked me to do? Good questions to ask yourself, and you kind of write it down. The scriptures do testify about Jesus, and Jesus said Moses wrote about him. Interesting, go back to the word being the work of God, not a work to God. God reveals himself for the Bible, in the Bible. And so prayer as a wonderful gift, you know, that's a work from God. That's not a work to God. You can't pray your way to God. If you think so, be a Hindu. They pray more than we do. Okay? Or be a Muslim. They get down on their hands and face 7 times a day. Prayer is not a way to God. It's a gift from God. They just say, oh, now I want to pray. You know, he made this possible. The truth is the same thing. It's not a way to God that we kind of discover and climb up. It's a way from God. Discipleship, Bible knowledge. Okay, not a way to God. Although, if that was the case, only the ones who read their Bible a lot would have halos. And the rest of us would look like how we look today. Okay. It's a gift from God, not a gift to God. Same spiritual gifts and all the other good things God does. Just a wonderful thing God does. And meet the Lord in it. You know, go say, this is a work of God, this Bible. I was going to use the young people as a good example. Good exercise to do in your homes or by yourself or in some kind of class, youth group, Sunday school class, give us a try, choir practice. You say, okay, the worst has occurred and all the Bibles have been confiscated, all of them, okay, and it's been erased from the internet. It's been taken off the radio. There was, you know, letters that went out about that in the 70s and 80s. And then it's off the TV. No Bible on the radio, TV, in the pew, in your home, nothing. Nowhere. Nothing. And so the only thing you and I have left is what's in here and what's in here. What we've studied up to this point. Okay, and you get together and you build that Bible from scratch. You know, you build it from scratch. And at that point, I'm calling up the Bible quiz team and I'm saying, come over my house, please. Because they have studied the Bible. They have gotten into the Word and probably know more about Luke than any of us here. Is it what about Corinthians? They know more about Corinthians than any of us here. In terms of, you know, the content. So I want them so they know the Corinthians. And you'd be surprised in a humbling way how short your Bible is. That's in here and in here. You know, you say, okay, give me what you know about Genesis. Well, I got 5 verses in chapter 1. I got about 7 in chapter 2. I got about 4 in chapter 3 after that. I'm done. My Genesis is about a half a page, and Exodus and Leviticus, and just go through it. You know, Luke puts his life on the line. You know about Luke. Oh, I remember the Good Samaritan. Put that down there, you know. And you'd be surprised. Oh, man. I guess I didn't know as much as I thought I knew. My whole Bible's about 10 pages, you know, in terms of what's in here and what's in here. But in a good way, God has spoken to you through those reliable, you know, resources we have, His Word, talking to each other. And maybe if the whole church got together, we can know half the Bible. You know, that would be a challenge. You see how we need one another at that point. Because I don't know Colossians like these quizzers do, nor do you. But we can say this is God's word, and it's a gift from Him. It's not a gift to Him. And so, in closing, what is David's response to the wonderful word of God? pretty surprising and powerful, but I think we could identify with it. He's going from creation is so great, the law of the Lord perfect, radiant, true, better than honey and gold. And then he says this, who can discern his hidden faults? Lord, keep me from willful sins. All of a sudden, David's there. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is what God's like. This is what his word's like. It's perfect. It's better than gold. I was excited about gold, you know, until the economy sank. Who can discern his hidden errors? Lord, keep me from willful sin and declare me innocent, because without you, I'm not innocent. So a great response to the word of God is really very similar to Isaiah, isn't it? When Isaiah saw the Lord, holy, 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 he said, oh my, oh my. He is really great, and I need him so, so much. And then he said, if God says, who can come with us? I'll go. So there's a life change that happens. And could you and I, when we look in the Bible, you know, could it be to the point where it changes our life to, we just bow our knee a little bit lower. We say, I need God's help from willful sins, from hidden faults, to even discern my errors. And not only that, I need the Lord to keep a check on my heart and a check on my words, desiring to practice, wanting really to put God's word in practice. Verse 14. It's not just a prayer for a preacher before he preaches, Sunday school, you know, teacher before they teach. Lord, help my words and my meditations be pleasing. It's a good prayer before you have that rough conversation with your spouse, child, neighbor, boss. Now, before you go off to the day, Lord, words of my mouth, thinking of my heart, honor you. And David concludes by going back to God. He says, my Lord, my rock, my Redeemer. So he's not totally crushed by an awareness of his sin. He says, oh, God's my rock. God's my Redeemer. You know, God's my Lord. And you and I can have that walk on a continuing basis through his really good word that he gives us. Be thankful for it. Please don't use it as a way to God. You'll turn into the biggest Pharisee in town. Don't turn it into a way to God. Turn it into, just say it's a gift from God. Oh, now I'll handle it. You know, I won't examine it. It'll examine me. Okay, it'll examine me. And our lives will be changed. Might we pray together? Dear Lord, thank you for telling us about yourself and your word. We know you do so in creation. And here in the last quarter of church history, most likely, you've given us the written word into our hands. So we feel so blessed, so thankful. It's a precious book. In your book revealed, we see you, Lord, and yet we want to have our hearts respond to you best, dear Jesus, and might we be changed by your truth, the love, and the message that Jesus is Lord, which permeates the good book. Make we seek after you and pass it on to others at every opportunity that you open for us. In Jesus' name, amen.